ExxonMobil wants to restart oil drilling off the Santa Barbara coast, which it was forced to halt following a 2015 oil spill. On May 19, 2015, a pipeline carrying oil from an ExxonMobil offshore drilling platform ruptured, releasing nearly 150,000 gallons of crude oil, first onto the Refugio Beach, then into the ocean, and then all along the Southern California coast. I covered the spill, and one of my leading guides was our next guest, Linda Kropp. She's chief counsel of the Environmental Defense Center. She's joining us today from Santa Barbara. Thanks for being with us, Linda.
Thank you so much for having me.
ExxonMobil was forced to halt its drilling after the spill. Now it wants to start drilling again. Tell us the details of first the 2015 oil spill.
The oil spill happened from a pipeline that carries oil from several platforms producing offshore Santa Barbara, and it takes the oil to refineries outside of the area. It's been in operation since the late 1980s. And when the spill happened on May 19th, 2015, it wasn't even discovered for a while. And then the cause of the spill wasn't discovered for a while. So unfortunately, more than 140,000 gallons ended up making their way from the pipeline onshore a quarter mile through a culvert onto a beach at Refugio State Beach Park, closing that park, and then spreading into the ocean. And ultimately, the oil spread about 150 miles south all the way to Redondo Beach. So it shows, obviously, how dangerous and risky these practices are. But after that oil spill, Exxon applied to the County of Santa Barbara to start trucking its oil because the pipeline was out of commission and continues to be out of commission. And the county denied Exxon's request for an emergency trucking permit. So now Exxon is applying through the normal permit process.
So I was incorrect in my introduction. Exxon wasn't forced to stop drilling, it just was no longer using the pipeline?
So you were correct. Exxon and two other producers were forced to stop drilling because the oil and gas from their seven platforms that was processed onshore had nowhere to go.
Right.
Because the pipeline was shut down. So actually seven platforms, including Exxon's three platforms, have been shut down since 2015.
So then what Exxon is asking to do now is let us restart drilling, and the way that we will move the crude is not via pipeline, it will be via truck. Is that right?
Exactly. And it's interesting that the other four platforms are all going to be decommissioned now. They're actually not going to be restarted. So of the seven, the only three that are proposed to resume drilling off of the California coast are the three Exxon platforms.
What are the other platforms, and why are they not seeking to restart?
One of the platforms was really old. It was installed in the 60s, and the operator was Benico, which went bankrupt around this same time. And so, it wasn't producing much anymore. The company went bankrupt, so it's not going to restart, which is great. That's the platform that's right off of UC Santa Barbara. The other three platforms are off of the Gaviota Coast. They're operated by Freeport-McMoRan, and they were also declining in production, and I think it just wasn't economical for them to wait it out and try to resume production. So four of the seven, thankfully, won't be restarted, and we're trying to stop the three Exxon platforms as well.
How expensive does oil have to be for it to pencil out to move crude around by truck from an offshore platform?
We don't know for sure. That's an excellent question. It is expensive to restart the platforms and the onshore processing facility. The other thing to keep in mind is when the pipeline spill happened in 2015, the three Exxon platforms were producing about 30,000 barrels per day. Under the trucking application, which is limited due to air quality concerns, they would only be allowed to truck up to 11,000 barrels per day, and even that might exceed air quality thresholds. So you're right to say that there is a point at which it won't pencil out because of the volume of production versus the cost and the price of oil. So I don't know exactly where that breaking point is, but at some point it won't be economical for them.
And the air quality concern here is the diesel exhaust from the trucks?
Correct. Yeah, the pollution from the trucks, the application requests permission to truck 70 truckloads per day going up Highway 101, the scenic Highway 101, but it's actually 140 round-trip truck trips per day because they will take 70 truckloads of product up to Santa Maria and then east to Bakersfield area, and then they will bring the trucks back. So in terms of air quality concerns, it's 140 truck trips per day, which is pretty significant, especially on this stretch of the coast. I don't know how many of your listeners are familiar with this area, but we have the scenic 101 going up the Gaviota Coast, and then the highway bends pretty sharply in a very windy pass at Gaviota, and it's very curvy, very windy, and then some of the route would go along Highway 166 to Kern County, and that's a very narrow, windy road. So it's not a good place to have 140 of these large oil tanker trucks traveling.
It's a road with almost no shoulder in many places that is sometimes enveloped in wildfire and that can wash out in massive storms. I mean, it seems like there's air quality concerns, there's oil spill concerns, there's basic safety concerns. Which agencies actually get a say on whether this permit gets issued?
The permitting agency is the County of Santa Barbara because the permit asks for permission to transport the oil out of the processing plant that is located within the jurisdiction of the County of Santa Barbara. So it's mainly a County of Santa Barbara permit, but the County Air Pollution Control District will also determine whether or not it's compliant with air quality regulations. And I'm glad you mentioned the risks because in December of last year, an oil tanker truck carrying about the same amount of oil that these trucks would carry got in an accident on Highway 101 just north of Santa Barbara and tipped over and closed Highway 101 just as an evacuation warning had gone out for the massive fire that we had here in December. And so you had people trying to evacuate from the fire heading north, and the highway was shut down at the same time for more than 12 hours. So it's a horrible place to have something like this.
That sounds terrifying, Linda. Doesn't Exxon also run the risk of if it doesn't restart the production, it could lose its lease?
The lease is still intact. Under federal law, once an oil company starts producing a lease, the lease doesn't have a termination date.
Okay.
So, the question I think is probably more of an economic one, how long they can wait. There is an application to rebuild the pipeline. It's just starting to go through the permit process as well. And so, the question is whether or not the county will tell Exxon that they have to wait and see if a new pipeline will be built.
What do you think the chances are of stopping the permit for the trucking?
I think it's pretty good. We're getting support from all over the state, which we're very, very thankful for. The local community is very opposed, but we had our first hearing on the project. It's very early in the process. The first hearing occurred last week to talk about the scope of the environmental review, and we had folks come from all over the state, so that was wonderful. And one of the critical issues there is that the county, which has the permitting authority, is only planning to look at the impacts from the trucks themselves, and we are insisting that they must look at the restart of the three platforms as well because it's all one project.
What is the role of the state government in the decision, the Brown administration, the decision of restarting the production, because this is in state waters?
The three platforms are actually in federal waters.
Okay.
So it would be up to the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management and the Bureau of Safety and Environmental Enforcement. So they will have oversight over the restart of the platforms. One of the things that we're concerned about with restarting the platforms, besides all of the impacts and risks that come with that, is we discovered through a Freedom of Information Act request several years ago that ExxonMobil was using techniques like fracking and acidizing from these platforms, and the federal government had never analyzed those operations or the impacts from those types of operations. So we think it's all part of the picture, it's all part of the risk to our coast, and that it should be looked at together.
Can you explain, like, the basic mechanics of how these grandfathered offshore drilling operations work? Are they stationary platforms, or are they allowed to kind of move around and drill new holes in the same oil field?
The platforms here are stationary. You know, they're older, so they don't have some of the newest technology. Most of them were built between the 60s and early 80s. We have about little over 20 platforms in the Santa Barbara Channel. They're stationary, but over time they have evolved with slant drilling or horizontal drilling. They're able to access more areas. They don't just drill straight down vertically, but now they can drill down vertically and then horizontally to access more oil. So that extends the life of the platforms and all the impacts, and it creates risks because now these platforms are becoming older. They also started doing more enhanced drilling to try to get the oil that's harder to get. So that's where we've seen the fracking and acidizing. So even though the platforms have been there a while and they're stationary, the actual operations have changed over time. And so a lot of these platforms, you know, would have been gone by now, but for these new techniques.
What obligation, when they adopt new techniques, do they have to upgrade the safety equipment that they have on site? In other words, do they have to come up to modern specs when they use new drilling techniques?
Well, unfortunately, what we've learned is there really hasn't been much governmental oversight for that. As I mentioned, we had to do a Freedom of Information Act request because when we asked the federal agencies back around 2012, 2013, if any fracking was happening from the platforms, we were told no. And then we submitted a Freedom of Information Act request, and we found several permits allowing fracking and acidizing. So we sued the federal government. We asked them to stop permitting any of these activities without letting the public know, without doing any environmental review and imposing any safeguards, or, you know, even denying these applications. So we sued. They agreed to do environmental review, but they did such a horrible job that we sued again. And we have a hearing coming up in September on our lawsuit. So it's the oversight has been very weak. And this is all happening in federal waters. In state waters, the reaction to the historic 1969 oil spill was much different. The state, which has jurisdiction up to 3 miles offshore, has not issued any new leases since the 1969 oil spill. And in fact, in 1994, passed a law, the California Coastal Sanctuary Act, that prohibits new leasing in state waters. So the state and federal reaction has been very different.
We're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for being with us. Linda Kropp, Chief Counsel of the Environmental Defense Center, joining us today from Santa Barbara, California. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.